Let's take the book of Acts, chapter 20. If anybody needs a copy, we have a copy. Everybody got one that needs one. All right, chapter 20. Last time we stopped at verse 12. So let's begin Acts 20. Those that are listening by the means, want to give us a call at 856-261-9018, or simply call us an email at questions@bftbc.org. 856-261-9018. Okay, Acts chapter 20. We stopped at verse 12. Let's read verse 12, 13, and 14 this evening, starting with verse 12 together. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship, and sailed at Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in, and came to Mytilene. All right, 12, 13, and 14 of the book of Acts, chapter 20. Now, where were they at this time? Where was Paul? What city was he in?
Macedonia.
Macedonia, that's right. He was in Macedonia. And what particular city in verse number 5?
Troas.
Troas, all right. And Troas is a city that's right. Here it is, right here. See, it's right here. There's Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. There's Troas. That's where he is. And in verse number 12, they brought the young man alive. What young man was that? What happened to that young man? Yes, Pastor Dan.
This young man, they fell asleep. Eutychus.
Why did he fall asleep?
He was tired.
Okay. What was the occasion?
There was a preaching service.
Preaching service. Who was the preacher? Apostle Paul. Was he a brief preacher or a long preacher?
Long preacher.
He, first of all, before he fell off from the third loft, what time did Paul quit preaching at that point?
Midnight.
And so he fell off asleep, and then they picked him up and he revived, and then how long beyond that did Paul continue to preach?
Till the sunrise,
till the break of day. So he preached till midnight. Fellow fell off, was dead, Eutychus, slept, and he raised him from the dead, kept on from midnight till the break of day. See, another 6 hours. So he was a long-winded preacher, but he had much to say to all those people. And then in verse 23, verse 13, and now, by the way, there's verse 12, not a little comforted, what does that mean? Not a little comforted. Very comforted. When it says not a little, that means a lot, doesn't it? A lot. And then in verse 13, who's the we include? We went, Luke, because he's a writer, actually, so Luke was with him at this time. We went before to ship. What does that mean?
She went to the ship.
And we went to the ship. We're going to take ship. And where did they sail? To Assos. And now Troas is here, and Assos is right here. See, right here. Troas and Assos, very close. See, just like that. So they sail from here to here. That's the first thing. All right, they went to Assos, and what did they intend to do there? Or even before they went, verse 13. What did they intend to do?
Pick up Paul.
Okay, was Paul going to go with him on ship in verse 13?
Originally he was on ship.
But what did he do? What does it mean?
They were going to pick him up.
What he had appointed, what's he going to do?
An appointment with him.
But what does it say? He was appointed to do what?
Mingling himself to go afoot.
Minding himself. What does that mean to go afoot? Foot by foot. You see, Troas, right here, Assos is here. They could sail around, or he could walk here to here. And after there, it's about, maybe 50 miles, something like that. Or maybe 25 or 30. So he's going to walk if he could. Then in verse 14.
Show again because she just got it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so here's Troas right here, and here's Assos right here. So it's a close distance, but they're going to sail around or else walk by foot. Okay? So that's verse number 13. In verse 14, when he met with us at Assos, who's the he, you think?
Paul.
Probably Paul met with us, and us included?
Luke.
All right? What did they do to Paul? What does that mean?
He went on the ship.
They went on the ship, okay. And came where? Where did they go then?
To Mytilene.
Mytilene, I see. Here's Troas, Assos, Mytilene right here. Mytilene. She's right. So they took a ship to come there. Because that's an island. You had to go by ship. You can't go by foot on that one. It's an island right there. All right, so I went to Assos, from Assos to Mytilene. And,
Here,
that's verse 15. And then the next day we tarried at what? Arrived at what?
Chios.
Well, even before Chios, was it?
Mytilene.
Well, before that even. Oh, excuse me, Chios. You're right. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Chios. Chios, Troas, Assos, Chios is right here. It's another island, see, so you had to go back to it. So now it's a ship. Mm. This is Paul's journey. It's a kiosk.
Well, and you see the dotted line that shows us.
That shows the way he went, wasn't it? And then after that, the next day they went to arrive at where? Verse 15. Samos. Okay. So Samos, here's the Miletus.
What's Chios?
Chios is here. Samos is here. See, that's another island. So from Chios to Samos.
There's a dotted line that's
He's traveling. He's traveling. All right, so the camel, Samos. And then Terry, where?
At Trogillion.
Trogillion. Well, here's Trogillion way down here, see? From Chios to Trogillion. Well, that's quite a distance, a longer distance. There's Trogillion right there. Another, I think it looks like an island as well. So Paul was...
Miletus. Was Miletus an island?
Miletus.
Miletus was a city on an island.
Miletus, let's see here. Yeah, Miletus. It's a city on an island, see?
Okay.
What's another name for Miletus?
I don't know. Are we supposed to know that one?
Well, remember, there's a right with a bot Paul, a bit Paul there in Miletus.
Mercury.
What's it called?
Malta.
It's called Malta. Miletus or Malta.
No, Malta is different.
Different?
This is Mytilene.
Mytilene? Okay. You sure it's not the same, huh? Well, where was Malta?
Malta is over
in the Mediterranean Sea.
It's down
there. Malia, okay, you're right. That's Melita, and this is
Mytilene.
Very close. Mytilene. Okay, I stand corrected. Okay, so I went to Trogillium and Miletus, and then let's read verse number 16, okay. 17, and 18 together.
Well, then we came to Miletus.
Yes. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted if it were possible for him to be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. All right, so verse number 16, right? So Paul determined to go where after Trigillion? Ephesus. And Ephesus is over here. Close by where the ferry is right here. So that's Ephesus. So he was at Trogillion, wanted to go to Ephesus. He was backwater apparently a little bit. Chios, Trogillion.
Right
south
of the Ephesus on the coast.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Miletus right here, yeah. So we ought to go up here to Ephesus, very close by. Whether did he sail, I wonder, or go by foot, what did he say? Sail, he determined sail to Ephesus. Because why did he want to not spend too much time in Ephesus anymore?
He wanted to get Jerusalem, Pentecost.
Wanted to get Jerusalem, not in Asia. Of course, what is Asia? Asia Minor, isn't it? Asia Minor, which is Turkey today. So he went, he hasted. What does that mean, he hasted?
He hurried.
He hurried, all right? Hurried. Possible to get to Jerusalem. Day of Pentecost. What month of the year was the day of Pentecost?
It was the third month.
Third month, that's right. So he wanted to get to Jerusalem. That's a long way to go. So he waited a whole island.
He wanted to get back to Jerusalem?
Back to Jerusalem. Day of Pentecost. That's one. How many times a year did the Jews go to Jerusalem?
Three times.
What months were they that they had to go to Jerusalem? What months were they?
First month,
third month, and seventh month. How many feasts of Israel was every Jew had to go back to Jerusalem and celebrate?
Three times a year.
How many feasts?
Seven
feasts. That's right. So
they had to go back 7 times a year.
3 times because it's 1, 2, 3, and 7. That's 3 months. How many feasts in the first month?
Three.
How many feasts in the third month? One, that's the Pentecost. How many feasts in the seventh month?
Three.
So we got 3, 1, 3. See, seven times, but only three different times. Yes, Tammy.
In verse 6, it says it was after the days of unleavened bread. So I mean, about the first one here, and then he wanted to get to there, get where he was going.
Yes.
That was, you know, he traveled quite a bit.
Yeah, two more months. That's very good.
Yeah, so.
That's right. It was the first month there they had. All right, so after this, you must spend time. Then in verse 17, from Miletus, where'd you go? Did we read 17, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did talk about
it. We did. From Miletus, you went to Ephesus.
No, I guess you didn't. This was
another one.
Again, Miletus.
Another Miletus. Once Miletus went to
Ephesus again.
Ephesus again.
Oh, this is what he did.
Yeah, that's what he did. Okay, with Ephesus. Now, and what happened at Ephesus? Verse 17 is very critical for us. What did he do in verse 17?
The church again at Ephesus.
What is an elder?
Pastor.
Okay, but we'll see a little bit later. They have three duties. What are the three duties of elders? What?
Bishop, eldest, son.
Pastor,
bishop,
elder. We'll see a little bit later when we go down to the other verses. But these were elders. These are. What is the Greek word for elder?
Presbyteros.
Presbyteros. And what do the Presbyterians call themselves?
Presbyterians
from Presbyteros. Why do they think they use that name?
Because they have elders.
They believe elders, they have elder rule, and so they don't go along as a Baptist, a different church polity. Pardon me? In Greek.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they call themselves that, because they believe elder rule, and they're different from Baptists and others. Then in verse 18, we read 18. When they were come to him, who do they refer to? When they were come to him. Who's the they? The elders. That's when the elders were come to him. What did Paul say to them?
You know, from the day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you.
So they were witnesses of his being with them at Ephesus, all these different things, for a long time, wasn't it? In all seasons he was with. How many months was he at Ephesus? Was it 18 months?
That was in Corinth.
In Corinth?
He was there 2 years.
2 years? Maybe 3 years. A long time, though, wasn't he?
Some place he was 2 years.
In Ephesus. And let's read verse 19. Did we read 19? Not yet. No. Let's read 19, 20, and 21. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you, have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there it says, serving the Lord. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Did Paul serve the Lord?
Yes,
he did. Is it easy or difficult always to serve the Lord? Is it easy or difficult?
Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's
hard. Now, in Paul's day, did they like him to serve the Lord, all the people? Did the Jews like him serving the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
The Jews hated him. They kicked him out of the city. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email. Say hello or give us a question or comment or just simply say hello. Now, notice, how did Paul serve the Lord in verse 19? Before that,
humility
of mind. What does that mean?
Humbleness.
In other words, did Paul have a good mind or a bad mind? Did he have a keen mind or a dull mind?
Gamaliel.
Was it?
He sat at the feet of Gamaliel.
Sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And was his mind sharp or flat?
Sharp.
It was sharp. He was a sharp, trained Pharisee of the Pharisees. But how can a sharp, trained mind also be humble? Is it possible?
Yes.
And Paul did it, see? And now, when you brag about your humility, are you humble?
No.
Some people say, I'm humble and proud of it. So strange. Anyway, but Paul is not trying to boast himself, but he served the Lord with humility. And what else? Not only humility of mind, but what else? in verse 19. Let's get this call here for you. Go ahead. Yes, Jacob from Texas. Jacob, go right ahead.
No, this is Dale.
Oh, Dale, Jacob's mother. Dale,
yes.
Okay, Dale, go right ahead,
yes.
Dale.
And I just wanted to tell you that we're enjoying the service a lot. It's wonderful. And also to tell you that my sister is here listening with us.
Good, praise the Lord. Where is she from, Dale? Where is your sister from?
She's from Victoria. She's here from the same town I am.
Oh, good.
There's only two of us left, and we spend a little as much time as we can together.
What is your sister's name, Dale?
Esther.
Well, thank you. You greet it. You say hello to Esther for us. Let's wave to Dale and Jacob. We're way over in Texas. Wave
Esther
to her.
Too.
Was there sister too? Esther too. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that you're there. I'm glad that you understand that you're with us. All right. So serving the Lord with humility in mind. What else did Paul say he served the Lord with?
Many
times. What does that? What does that mean?
Sometimes the Lord
makes
you cry.
He was
sorrowful sometimes.
Sorrowful and humble. And sometimes, why do people cry? What are some of the reasons for crying?
It's heartache.
Heartache?
Death.
Maybe distress others.
For others? Maybe because people are lost and unsaved and they're crying. They're emotionally, like their mothers or close relatives. But many tears, not simply a little bit. And what else? What's the other way he served the Lord?
Temptation.
What is the temptation? What's that mean?
The testing.
What does it mean to have a test? Testing like that. What does that mean? Are there different types of tests or all the same?
Mm-hmm. All sorts.
All sorts of tests. Testing and testing. Now, once somebody's tested, what are the results when someone's tested?
Either pass or fail.
Either you find good about it or bad. So, but he had many temptations. Which befell me. What's befell me? Befell.
Came upon him.
By the lying in wait of the Jews. What does that mean?
Jews didn't want him to preach at all.
They didn't want lying in wait. What were they doing for lying in wait?
Asian lying in wait. Following around.
Following around, ready to kill him. They didn't
waiting
like
for him.
Him
to make a mistake.
That's right. Then in verse 20, what was the message that he had, and what is the message that he didn't have? What was his message here?
Everything he preached was profitable to them.
And he kept back nothing. What does that mean?
He didn't hold anything back.
Nothing that was profitable to him. Nothing that was profitable to him unto you. But I've showed you. How does somebody show somebody something?
By their life.
Pardon me?
By their life.
Could be by their life, could be by their teaching, by their words, but they say.
Even sometimes right from the Word of God itself.
The Word of God.
Show them the Bible, so this is where it says it. I mean, they didn't have a.
Now, do some preachers keep back things that are profitable for people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they keep back. Sometimes they do.
Some things are very difficult to teach.
Yes.
So
but Paul didn't keep back anything that was profitable. Yes, Tammy.
Sometimes they're afraid to say something that might offend someone that comes to the church.
Yes.
Maybe the person has a lot of money and they don't want them to leave.
Yes, that's true. Profitable. Showed you. And what else is he that I always showed you, but what? In verse 20. To Anna.
No, sorry, I was testing it to see.
See if I was looking at you?
No.
I saw the hand.
I was trying to figure out where the reflection was coming from.
Oh, okay. What's another thing you did? Not to show them, but what?
Taught you.
Taught. How do you do that? Taught you how much? Privately? Taught them privately?
No.
Publicly. All right, publicly. How would you define taught or teaching?
Instruction.
I remember Howie Hendricks, we don't agree a lot of what he said, but remember he used to always use these expressions from Dallas Seminary, one of our former friends that we knew there. He's with the Lord now.
It just heard from his wife. Heard
from his wife. Telling is not teaching. Telling is not teaching, essentially. Then he said the second thing. Listening is not learning. Listening is not learning. He had one more thing. I can't remember what it was. Something. But inspiration, whatever. But anyway, these are things he taught them. How do you go about teaching people things?
Well,
Showing them, that's right. We have step by step. We have two people in our room, in our church tonight, that either presently or formerly were homeschool teachers, homeschool, had their children with homeschool. Now, Amber was a teacher, homeschool. We have a couple of homeschool people right here named Jake and Jackson, right? And they, so your mom teaches you, right? And now the question I have is, are you learning some things? Oh, good, I'm glad you are. Jackson, are you learning some things?
Yes.
Good. And Tammy taught her daughter Anna. Anna, did mom teach you some things?
Yeah, I would say so.
Did you learn from her teaching?
Yeah.
Okay, so he taught them publicly. Now, notice the last part of verse 20. What does that mean, from house to house? What does that indicate?
Didn't skip
anything. Didn't skip anything. Well, that's true. What else? Questions at BFTBC.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Pastor Dan.
So then you did public teaching, but then you did private teaching.
Okay.
It seems like.
Now, what does it indicate? Did you just go to a house and open the door and nobody there? What does that indicate? What was happening in those houses?
The houses accepted them.
Okay, but what was happening? Who was that in those houses?
Christians.
Christians, believers. Did they have a sort of a house church, possibly?
Certain houses.
Yeah. He taught them from house to house. In those days, did they have huge, huge, big church buildings like we have across the street here, the Lutheran Church?
No.
And the Methodist Church, did they have huge buildings for the Christians? No, they didn't. And a lot of times, they just met house to house. And so, he taught them publicly and privately. What's that, Dan?
Can I add something?
Sure.
In Philemon, I think it says that, I have to look at it.
Philemon chapter 1.
Verse 2 and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house.
Church in thy house. And so we have a church in our house here. So this is not unusual. And they taught from church to church, house to house as well. Yes,
I think that baby thought was very unusual. The little baby, he's, 4 months, 5 months old, that was here today. Our little Charlie, wait. His grandma, somebody brought him in here, and he looked around, and he had a very different look at it on his face when he's looking around.
Really?
I think he was half scared and half surprised. He didn't know what was happening.
Didn't know what was in this place.
Maybe it was all the electronic equipment.
Something in here... he wasn't scared, but he didn't understand. You could tell just by looking at an expression.
Uh-huh. See, Jake, that's going out. Just as it up is on the video. See, that's what's going out. There's Jake. Oh, there's Jake himself. That's going out all over the world. See, who wants to watch it? All right, so from house to house, and you say, the church of thy house. That's right, in Philemon chapter 1. And then in verse, did we read, did we read 21, did we? I think we did. Now, testifying... What does testifying mean?
Giving witness.
What is it?
Giving witness.
Giving witness, that's right. Who did he witness to? What kind of people?
Jews.
Jews. And?
Gentiles.
Gentiles or Greeks. That's right, the Gentiles or Greeks. So he didn't stop. When the Lord Jesus called him on his road to Damascus as he was ready to imprison Christians, where did the Lord Jesus Christ send Paul?
To the Gentiles.
And where did he particularly send the Apostle Peter?
To the Jews.
Now, Paul started with the Jews. What happened when he preached and ministered to the Jews? What happened?
They
rejected him. In fact, he said at one point, I turned to the Gentiles. And so here he preached to both of them. If they'd listen, he preached to both of them, Jews and Gentiles. What are the two things that he testified concerning? What two doctrines in verse 21?
Repentance and faith.
Repentance and faith. Faith, what kind of faith? Toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How does repentance mean?
Change of mind.
From what Greek word?
Metanoia.
Meta means?
Change.
Change of noia from nous means?
Mind.
Change of mind. What kind of change of mind are required before somebody can be saved.
Concerning sin?
Concerning sin. They've got to realize that it's changing my, I'm a sinner. What's the second thing?
About the Savior.
What is it?
It's about the Savior.
About the Savior, that He can save us. He died for our sins. And then they must trust Him, accept Him. So, faith, confidence, showing the repentance and toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How is a person saved today?
Same way.
Genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him, realizing the sinners that Christ died for their sins. Let's read verse 22, 23, and 24 together. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Or verse 22. Where's Paul going to go now?
Jerusalem.
What does it mean I'm bound? What's that mean?
He couldn't help it.
What is it?
He felt compelled.
Convicted? Well, compelled. Why? Compelled. Desires strongly. He wanted to go there, didn't he? Bound and determined to go where? To Jerusalem. Now, where was he at this point? What city?
Ephesus.
Sorry, here's Ephesus.
Macedonia.
No, Jerusalem. Way over there. It's a long ways away, isn't it? Long ways away. He's bound and determined. He wanted to go there for the day of Pentecost, the third month. So that was his desire. But notice in verse 22, was he sure of what's going to happen to him at Jerusalem? Did he know what's going to happen to him at Jerusalem in verse 22?
No.
No, not knowing the things that befall me there. But verse 23, what did he know? At least what did people tell him? What did the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit witness in every city to him?
There will be bonds.
Bonds and afflictions abide me. What's abide me?
Prison.
What does abide mean?
With him,
surround him. Now, if the Holy Spirit actually told him through other people, that in every city, everywhere he went, he said, don't go to Jerusalem. If everyone told you it was part of the Holy Spirit's witness to them, would everybody go to that city? No, if bonds and afflictions, probably stay away. But in verse 24, I think we read that, what was Paul's reaction to the warning that bonds and afflictions to the Bible? What are bonds?
Imprisonment.
Did Paul finally get into prison?
Yes,
he did. And afflictions? Did he have afflictions?
Yes.
And afflictions. What was his attitude toward this warning in verse 24?
Unchanged.
None of these things move me. What does that mean, move me?
Make him change his mind.
I'm not going to be moved. I'll change my mind. Then what else did he say about his life? What did he say about his life?
I lost my place.
Not important.
Don't account it dear to me. Now, if you don't count your life dear to you, what does that indicate?
Some higher purpose.
Now, those of us who are still living in this age in which we live, it's entirely possible, since we believe the Bible, that the government will come and take us to either FEMA camps or some other place way over other countries because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're against the homosexuals. We believe homosexual. I'm sure it's against homosexuality. We're not against homosexual, but we believe homosexuality is a sin. And we preach the gospel of Christ. But we may have to be in Paul's shape. I do not count my life dear unto myself. Why? Why didn't he count his life dear unto himself in verse 24? What was his goal?
To finish his course.
Finish his course. How?
With joy.
What does that mean, to finish his course?
What the Lord's will was for
his job.
What do we know about courses, different courses?
Some are hard, some are easy.
Yes, and what are courses? Not the school courses necessarily, but what are they?
Racetrack
courses, horse races, different track, athletic events, running.
Running
on a track.
When you get close to the end, you sometimes get more tired.
That's right.
I'm going to finish my course for the day. I can't handle it.
Okay.
Now,
well, we've got about six more minutes before nine, huh? Give us six more minutes. Jake is just ran to go. Just joking. Anyway.
Very good.
Yes, very good.
He's a little boy.
Now, what does it mean just to finish his course and not to finish his course? What does that mean? Anna?
If you're running a marathon, there are, like, you know, you have first place, second place, third place, and then you have something called finishers.
All right.
Finishers, they cross the finish line.
Cross
so they might be 100 out of 100, but they cross the finish line, as opposed to someone who just gives up and decides not to complete.
What do we call those that give up?
Quitters.
Quitters. That's right. Pastor Dan got something.
Pastor, saying our warm greetings to you and all BFT Church family. We give thanks to God for each and every one of you. Thank you for tonight's Bible study in the Book of Acts and His love, Carl and Vicki.
It's way to Carl and Vicki Alper, way up in the state of Maine. Way in the state of Maine. Thank you, Carl and Vicki. Appreciate that.
It's worthwhile doing it when people are listening.
Finish my course. How?
With joy.
Now, even if there's pain, can joy be in the midst of pain?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. A mother of grandchildren, I've never been a mother, but I understand that when the baby is born, they're joyous. I mean, it's painful, it's hard. Finish the course with joy. And what else is going to finish with joy? And what else? Now, there's this course only, but what else?
Ministry.
Where did we receive this ministry? Who gave him that ministry?
Lord Jesus.
What was the ministry? Testify what?
The gospel
of the grace of God. He wanted to finish his course. He wanted to be joyous about it and do what God wanted to do. And then let's read verse 25, 26, and 27 together. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. All right, verse 25, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God. These people, what city was he in now? What city?
Yet.
No. What is the city?
Ephesus.
Okay. So he was there. I don't forget, I remember how many, 3 years or 2 years, whatever. A long time. He's preaching the kingdom of God. What does he say about himself?
He no longer going to see his face.
That's the last time. Yes. Now, none of us know when we're going to see our fellow's faces again. We don't know when we could die in an accident or whatever, but Paul knew that once he got there, it's the end of the line. See, the Lord told him. They still went because he wanted to finish his course with joy and what God had given to him. All right, let me see what I got here. Hey, Rob Winograd from Chicago. Hey, Rob, go ahead.
Hi, Pastor, and hello to the Grand Rapes.
The Grand Rapes.
To everyone there and on the internet at Thanksgiving for a joy.
Amen.
And I just want to say, verse 25 there, the hyper-dispensationists say, Paul, they relegate the kingdom of God just to Jesus, but Paul that is there preaching the kingdom of God too.
Amen. That's right. That's good, Rob.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Wave to Rob in Chicago. Chicago, you're going to wave to Rob.
How's the snow, Rob?
Rob Winograd, Chicago. Okay.
The snow.
The snow. I'm sure the snow is... He told me the other day that he had to shovel the snow. It took him... It was about 12 inches deep. It took him about 2 hours to shovel the driveway and so on. So it's a lot of snow up there in Chicago. Was it?
Maybe it's melted by now.
Oh, maybe it's melted by now. Who knows? Finish his course of joy. The testimony of the grace of God. And then we read 25, among whom I've all gone preaching, you should see my face no more. So he knew he was never coming back. Let's read verse, did we read 26? Yeah, we did read 26, didn't we?
Yeah.
What does this mean? I'm pure from the blood of all men. What does that mean? Pure from the blood of all men.
If they die without Christ, it's not his fault.
All right, that's one thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
He's taught the truth, and he's not holding back anything. And then in verse 27, what is true? What has he not done? What does shunned mean?
Avoided.
I'm not shunned. To declare what?
All the counsel of God.
What does it mean to declare?
Talk about it.
Talk about it. Where is all the counsel of God found?
In the Word of God.
The Word of God, the Scriptures. So Paul, does he believe in telling people about the Scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
He sure did. He knew all about the Old Testament, and he preached Christ from the Old Testament, a lot of things concerning the Lord. And then, did we stop at 27, Debbie? Mm-hmm. We didn't read 28 yet, did we?
No.
Let's read 28, 29, and 30 together. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourself, to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. What is an overseer?
Well, he's talking to the preachers here.
The bishop.
The bishop. And what does it say in verse 17? Who are they? Who is he speaking to here? In verse 17.
Elders.
The elders at Ephesus. So here the elders.
I wonder how many churches.
Are also overseers or bishops. You got something back in that?
I'm just having trouble with the camera.
Okay. Over which the Holy Ghost of the major order. What are they to do, these elders and bishops, in verse 28? What are they to do?
Church.
Feed the church. What is the Greek word for feed? Poimenos. Poimenos, poime. To feed. Shepherd. Pastor. That's the word for pastor. So you see, that's why we, in our church, we've read the scriptures are very clear that pastors are also bishops, are also elders. Pastor, bishop, elder. All three. One the same, different tasks, but God has given us the privilege to do all those three things. This is proof of it. The elders, he calls, take the oversight, that's the oversight which is the episcopal or a bishop, and then feed, that's the pastors. Now, what does it say about the church of God? Who's the church of God? What's that referred to? Is that only man up there in Connecticut's church? Dr. Tom Strauss? What is the church of God? Is that every church in the whole world?
Believers.
That's right. Save people. The church of God. Save people. The church of God. What is true of the church of God in verse 28?
They're purchased with the blood of Christ.
All right. And that word he refers to what?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son is purchased with his own blood. Purchase means what?
Bought.
Bought. Out of the slave market of sin. How was he purchased? With his blood. Now, we talked a little bit with Pastor Dick a little bit today about John MacArthur's view. What is Dr. MacArthur's view about the blood of Christ?
It just means death.
Means death. See, Thanatos, death. And blood, Hymen.
Yes, right.
What's that?
Oh, I guess I'm being called on to remind people about how the scripture says the life of the flesh is in the blood. But if you take blood as a metonym for death, then you have the life of the flesh is in the death, which doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. Very good. From Leviticus. That's right. So anyway, but he's purchased with his own blood. In other words, he shed his blood in his death, but God says the blood of Christ purchased. There's 14 different things it talks about the blood of Christ. We've written a little tract on it, different part of the books and different things. 14 different things. God says the blood of Christ does, redeems, forgives, all these things. And so we can't just change it into death. He did set his blood in his death, but it's the blood of Christ that God holds up. What about the Exodus lamb in Exodus 12 and so on? What was true in the first Exodus expression? What did God say to do?
The blood was shed and was put on the doorposts.
Okay.
And mounted.
So the blood was shed, that's the death of the lamb. And the blood is applied, wasn't it? Top side points to top, and so they're separate. And so it's interesting. But he's purchased with his own blood. Now, we read 29. What did Paul know in this verse? What did he know for sure?
Grievous wolves.
After my departure, after I leave, sure. Grievous wolves. Right, among you. Now, what is a grievous wolf?
False prophet.
False prophet, all right. Now, sometimes the Lord Jesus says they are as wolves in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? Wolves in sheep's clothing. They appear to be sheep, but inside they're wolves. Grievous. What does grievous mean?
Sore.
Very sore, very serious, and very bad. Enter among you. What do you mean, among you? And the church is there, the believer. What does it mean, not sparing the flock? Who's the flock?
Church.
The church, the believers, the flock, part of the sheep in the flock. Not sparing, meaning what? Not sparing.
Not holding back,
and they go after them. These wolves hate the sheep, and they hate the flock, and they go after them. Then in verse 30, what else is true that Paul's warning the pastors, bishops, elders about? What does it mean, of your own selves? What does that mean? Of your own selves.
Church.
Right in your own church. Pastor Dick mentioned it tonight. He said at his own church where the pastor goes to now, his father, church, his people were raised up, and even his own church, has raised up a person that was for MacArthur and for hyper-Calvinism. And so the whole church was split. They had to give a lot of people away because there was a split of their own selves. They rise up and split the church. So your own selves, this will rise. Who's going to rise of their own selves? What kind of people are those?
Men speaking perverse things.
Now, in other words, you have enemies not only from without the church, but right within. And so it's so important that we keep things fresh and clean. Yeah, Tammy?
2 Peter 2, verse 1 says, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring in upon themselves sorts of destruction. So Paul was telling that to Timothy.
Very important. That's good from Timothy. What's the verse on that, 2 Timothy?
I'm sorry.
Peter?
This is actually Peter.
Okay.
I was thinking
Timothy. Okay, that's good. Peter. All right. Now notice, the rise of their own self, speaking first things, what did they do? What is the end result in verse 30 of these within heretics, false teachers from within the church? What do they want to do? Draw away disciples after them.
Follow them.
Follow me, see? And so when there's a big church split, a lot of times, people go and follow this person that's a false teacher from within and leave the church. So it's sad, isn't it? Perverse things to draw disciples after them. I will stop here at verse 30. Well, I want to be sure to get verse 17, the elders at Ephesus, and verse 28. It calls them not only elders, but overseers or bishops to feed, that is, appointment us to shepherd their pastor, bishop, and elder. Their pastors as well, but feed the church of God. Do you ever have a comment or question before we close? Yvonne?
I do have a prayer request, I forgot.
Okay.
Your sister Dottie, I found out today, she fell down and broke some bones. I don't know anything about how many bones or what. She was in the hospital and she's in a nursing home now doing rehabilitation. That's all I know.
Okay, well.
Pray for her. She's 90 years old.
She's 90 years old. My sister, Dorothy Benedict. Dorothy Waite Benedict. All right, let's close in. For Pastor Dan, I want to pray for your Aunt Dottie and close in prayer, if you would, please.
Our Father, thank you for the Bible study. We do thank you that we do have the scripture. And we do ask that Aunt Dottie be able to recover from this fall and these broken bones. Allow her to be able to be released from this nursing home quickly. Let's just be able to get back to her own apartment. We do ask that that would allow her to be able to understand what the Word of God says about salvation, mm-hmm. about deliverance. We do ask that would allow us to continue to be thankful for what Thou hast done for us on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.